Hey gang, welcome back after a week off of illness and whatever else. I'm Jeremy Shahid as we watch stuff number 115. How's your packing going for the disaster destination?
Considering where I'm going, considering where you are, my packing's going fine. People are out and about going to concerts and living their lives, while on the East Coast, people are trying to come where we are after making their jokes last week.
Well, that's what we'll go to Greenville this weekend, you know, because we want to get to the storm quicker. And I keep seeing the travel coming north on 85, and I'm like, if I wasn't going for, like, one of my better friends' like birthdays, I'd just be content to sit here and make fun of people who can't find water at the stores. And which, the reason I say that, the Facebook feed for the people who live locally, basically, I live in Charlotte, and we're now supposed to get this Irma storm, and they're comparing it to Hugo, which I was not around for. That was in 89. So they keep talking about how it's going to this and this and this. So people are doing the usual stuff of buying bed, not milk this time. They're buying all the water they can. It's like no one's heard of a gas station. All you got to do, like, The grocery stores are empty. Lowe's and Home Depot don't have any, which I would have never think to go to Lowe's or Home Depot for that stuff.
Wait, why would I? Me neither. I'm like, gone to Home Depot. They've never had food.
The Lowe's down the street always has a big stack of water for some reason. I guess for contractors.
Yeah. I guess the water, I could see. Because they do sell, like home water fountains and stuff like that. So, but now I wouldn't think about getting a loaf of bread from Home Depot past the chainsaws. But, yeah, here, it was the whole thing. People were making jokes about, oh, it's not really a gas shortage, you just think it is. And thinking about something's reality, because it got to the point where it wasn't a gas issue, but everyone assumed it would be because this entire area gets their gas from Houston. So everybody went to get gas, which caused a gas shortage. So now it's some places that I drive about, like where I live, we have plenty of gas. It's just the price has increased about 40 cents.
Oh, lucky. Ours went up 50 cents already, and they're expecting it to be up almost a dollar by the time Monday gets here.
Yeah, but some places, you know, they did not have gas. People like struggling. They were texting people like, which station has gas? And then the ones that do, it's like 20, 25 cars around. I'm like, oh, so this is how it was in the 70s.
Yeah, that's funny. My mom, like, you weren't supposed to drive, but when I was a baby, I couldn't sleep, or I wouldn't. So during the gas crisis, she'd drive me around until I'd fall asleep and I'd go back home. I'm like, damn.
That's true love.
That is love bullshit. Right there. Yeah. There's like, the kid, I don't make money to do this, so no, just cry. But I guess if you want to fall asleep, I mean, her, not me. But, yeah, that's the thing. Yesterday, I forgot that it never occurs to me these sort of things. So, like around Thanksgiving to start with, Black Friday, it never fails. I run out of soap, deodorant, just something. I'm like, oh, I'll get it Friday, no big deal. Forgetting it's Black Friday. So while people have, like, carts full of garbage, there's me with, like, my stick of deodorant and a can of Pringles just because I'm looking like an idiot with one item, which, you know, Pringles makes it better. But then it never fails. I needed gas yesterday. Go to QT, and there's a line. I was like, what the hell's going on? And I didn't get it. And I looked at the pumps. It was already 50 cents up, and I was like, holy crap. And, of course, we're driving, so, you know, our planning is not always the most rationally sound. So, but anyways,
yeah.
we'll see if there's a show the next couple of weeks. I lose power for 2 weeks. That's what they were talking about with Hugo. Was it knocked all the trees down? And since, you know, Duke's headquarters is here, the infrastructure is roughly about the 30s still. So,
hey, such is life. So, yeah. We may be getting some more weather depending on what direction Katia goes. Like, when it happened with us, we just got rain where I was because we're, like, centrally located. Some places got demolished. I know Houston, it's funny, Houston dealt with it, but they're kind of, I don't want to say back to normal, but back functioning. The fact that we're going to see Janet Jackson this weekend, and she says she's going to be there. She's going to go there Friday to do, like, a free performance for people that are still, like, you know, settled from disaster areas, and then we're going to see her Saturday. So, and they hadn't canceled, and they were saying, like, come there, be a special show. So that says a lot, considering how much damage they had to deal with and how big Houston is. But the funny thing is, it doesn't sound anywhere close to what Miami's doing. I already heard some of the stuff that happened, like some of those islands. Like, a couple of them got demolished.
Well, all right, now, is there two islands? There's Barbados, and then is there a different one that's similar sounding? Or have we been pronouncing it wrong?
No, it's Barduba is a separate small island, yeah. Because people were wondering, like, did somebody say Bahamas or Barbados the wrong way or misspelled? Like, no, it's a small island you don't hear about until a disaster happens. And you hear, like, oh, 80 of our island is gone.
Yes. So we don't have to worry about them anymore anyways. So, you know, they're pretty much off the map. But it's sad. I mean, you see the pictures of that stuff, and it's like, good grief. There was a car inside somebody's, like, sliding glass door that was actually wedged in between, like, an alleyway that was only, like, 4 feet wide. I'm like, how the hell did that happen? It just the craziness of it. But, you know, it's every one of these things. There's always these pictures. So, like, the old tornadoes that can put a piece of straw into a telephone pole, which is still rather amazing to me. But anyways, let's get on to the real stuff. We'll get do our weather break next show. I don't know, where do you want to begin? Like, last week it was fortunate we were off, and not a whole lot happened. Not until the end of the week when we would have been done recording anyways, but it seems like this week there's been more and more, I don't want to say, I guess, news, just items that are going to take place for future. For the future.
Oh, the first one will probably be the biggest one as far as directors, because we always talk about, you know, directors of big movies and how people chosen. And we've had shows before where we made jokes about how somebody, you know, makes one little indie flick that no one sees, but a few people likes, and the next thing they know, they get the keys to big franchises, for better or for worse. And sometimes it works out, and a lot of times it doesn't. And speaking of which, Colin Trevorrow, I guess Kathleen Kennedy saw his last movie and is like, yeah, I can't have him doing Star Wars, so see you later.
See, that, it's funny what one movie will do. I mean, he's the guy that made Jurassic World. So it's not like, you know, it's not as if, you know, he's total trash, but it's one of those things where it makes you wonder, well, how much did he have to do with that? Like, was there... That was from all pick, right? And Spielberg was a producer, right?
Yeah, from all talks, it was kind of like not that much. And to be honest, Jurassic World is kind of polarized because it made a boatload of money. But I haven't met a lot of people who actually like enjoyed it a lot. I got people who liked it, but I ran into far more people who did not like that movie at all for whatever reason. I was kind of like, I enjoyed it, but I don't really rush to see it again. And nothing about... And it was kind of like one of those things where you don't watch a movie and know why you like I liked it because, like, nostalgia. I hadn't seen Jurassic Park since I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And it was some cool things. But nothing about it was like, oh, this is awesome direction, or he has an eye. Like, nothing about the direction or the movie, the technical sneak see, oh, this was greatly done. Like, the things I like about it really had nothing to do with the director, for better or for worse. And in this case, it was probably worse.
How so?
No, just the fact where if you see some big movie and your whole thing is kind of like, oh, it's like you went to Golden Corral. You were hungry, you enjoyed going to Golden Corral, but you don't go there and say, oh, you know that shrimp dip was awesome. Like, I've never heard anyone brag about, I know people go to Golden Corral and they go there because they can eat a lot of food for, you know, a little bit amount of money. I've never heard anybody brag about the food at Golden Corral before.
No, that's... Or the people that go there for the most part. Anyways. I wasn't surprised this happened because it... Once... What was the name of the movie he made that just bombed so horribly?
Was it The Book of Eli or something like that? Something, let me see.
Book of Henry, I think.
Book of Henry, yeah.
Yeah. Which, has anybody seen that?
No. Okay. It wasn't just... It was bad. It was just... Because one, it was like, not just bad, like real bad. And then the second one was just like the idea was like, why even make this? the big thing that, like, you know, not just making a bad movie, it's kind of like you just came off one of the biggest grossing movies of all time. You're about to do Star Wars. You can do whatever you want. And, you know, people say, oh, I'll make this little indie flick and stuff. But it seemed like the story, like the movie was horrible and the story was worse. And when you have, like, so much, you know, like you can't be the CEO of Apple and then get called smacking strippers around. It's kind of like you got to remember who you are and your surroundings. And if you're going to take a chance like that, make it work. And nothing about it. Like, I read the description of the movie, and they're like, who thought this was a good idea?
Yeah, I was reading that. Like, oh.
Yeah, I don't blame actors, because one is kind of like actors will find goodness in anything. Some do it for practice, and everyone does it for a paycheck. Like, it's kind of like, you know, pools have to be paid. Pools have to be paid for. So.
It's funny. I don't want to get off topic, but yeah, it's funny because this movie's far enough away, but there were already rumors of his writing the movie and his involvement in it has been kind of strenuous, anyways. Because they already started doing a rewrite, and I was like, well, wait a minute, are they even done writing this to have a rewrite? If you're writing a movie and they bring somebody else to work with you, then usually, you know, outside of your control, that's usually a bad sign. Mm-hmm. And then it makes me wonder, though, is there a problem with the Star Wars movies? Like, we're not hearing anything bad about Last Jedi. But the Han Solo movie, you know, the problems I had with those guys, you got this one now, which this can kind of be included because it's so far off, though. That where it's like, well, yeah, maybe they just nip this in the bud, you know, quick. Or anything could actually get the film and be, you know, a problem going forward.
Yeah, not anymore as it's always been. It's just we just notice this stuff more. I think the biggest is kind of like, because even if you look back in like the history, like the original trilogy, it was noise around those. Like, you know, who did this? Who did these rewrites? Did anyone think it would work? I had to change this. I had to fix this. And it's kind of like, it's either you just accept it or the news isn't kind of like, this isn't a thing that everyone knows about. You have to. It's not like if you're growing up in the 80s, unless you had, even like a Wizard magazine was a thing. It's not like you go on TV and they're talking about problems on the Star Wars set on Entertainment Tonight. Now I can go on any website and if somebody sneezed the wrong way, I can hear about it if I want to. So everything's kind of magnified for better or for worse. And I know a lot of fans don't like hearing it and they kind of feel a certain way. It's like Star Wars has always been about money. Mm-hmm. And like even... They tell me, oh, the mythology and yada yada. That's all nice and good. It's always been about money. The whole commercial toy thing kind of started with Star Wars. In case everyone like trying to sweep down the rug, and Disney is like, you know, Disney didn't spend all that money for nothing. And their whole thing is kind of like beyond anything. Star Wars is their big money maker. They're not going to do anything that's going to affect the money. Period. So this whole take a chance and be a dream and go, like, nah, they gonna treat it like your 401k. It's like, I'm just gonna sit in here and let it make money. I'll go to Vegas and gamble $1,000. I'm not gonna gamble $1 million. What kind of stupid stuff is that?
It's funny because I'm not sure I agree with you that Star Wars is the big money maker. Because remember, Marvel's also got, well, I put the, you know, horse before the cart. They got Marvel, which there seems that there's more potential for money out of the Marvel stuff than there is Star Wars.
Yeah, but put it this way. Rogue One was a side movie and made more money than every Marvel movie except for maybe like three of them.
I didn't realize
and that wasn't like, yeah, it made like $1 billion+.
You know, it's funny. It's not just a little bit. Rogue One was probably one of my favorite Star Wars movies. But you know what? It's funny you said how much money it made because you don't really hear too many people talk about it.
Yeah.
It's weird because people still talk about Force Awakens, but when it comes to that one, just like, oh yeah, yes, I liked it. Like,
yeah, like Rogue... It's funny, like, people who watch the movies, most people think it's like Rogue One seems to be the more likable one, depending on who you talk to. But it's like, it's one of those things where it's not looked at like quote-unquote big Star Wars movie. It's like, oh, it was a thing, and it was like a prequel to stuff. And I think the other thing is kind of like Force Awakens was the first Star Wars we had since the second trilogy that was done. So it was like, it's the big thing now. It's kind of like, you know, Now, it's, you know, I'm used. It's kind of like I'm used to Star Wars. But, like, yeah, Rogue One, even with all the noise behind it and all the rewrites and stuff, made a boatload of money. And that's not even taking account for, like, toys and merchandise. Like, as much money as Marvel makes off stuff like that, it ain't this, it's not the same as Star Wars. Like, it's close. And that's saying a lot considering how much money Marvel movies make. But Star Wars is, like, in the thing by itself.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, going to, like, the merchandise and toy stuff, Star Wars for sure, because they've been, I mean, what, it came out in 74? And I don't think, has there been a year since 74 that some sort of new Star Wars toy, and I don't mean product, I mean just toy exactly, that there hasn't been a new Star Wars toy come out? Maybe there was a break of a couple years. Because I remember the fervor when they, I was in college, this is back when eBay first started, that we had, they put that new assortment out. And, you know, it was rushing around all the stores to find them, because they messed up the Princess Leia, and, you know, they replaced her early on. Just all that speculatory stuff. But even then, I'm like, well, wait a minute. I mean, they've always had some sort of Star Wars action figures, if I want to put it that way. And that's not including T-shirts, you know, light, like the 12-inch dolls. Now they got those 4-foot ones you can buy in a store. I don't see that with Marvel, though.
It's not as, it's there, but it's not as big. It's like, because you'll see, you know, Captain American dolls and Avengers stuff. But the other thing is kind of like, they got a later start. And then the Marvel thing is like, a lot of their big names, they not going to push because they don't own, like, Spider-Man until recently in the X-Men. Like, people still piss, like, you know, they have a new video game out, fighting with Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, and no X-Men characters in there.
Oh, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, and it's people's kind of like
Wolverine?
None. Oof. And it's kind of like, because last time I checked, I don't remember seeing Wolverine. And before, it's like, you used to have at least, like, two or three. But this whole thing now is this where, yeah, it's like, it's different where Marvel doesn't own all of their stuff, so they can't push all of this stuff. And it's like pushing, like having Star Wars and you couldn't market Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker. Yeah. Like, that's like Spider-Man, like they got Spider-Man back now, but, you know, Spider-Man, X-Men were the two biggest Marvel things for the longest time, and they didn't have either one of them. So it's like we playing catch up. Like, we know Captain America. I don't know how many people, oh yeah, I grew up playing with a Thor doll. Like, no. I don't remember, I never, like, I knew who Thor was, but Thor was never a big deal. And a lot of those Avenger characters are never big deals. Star Wars, like, even if you don't know, like, all the details of Star Wars, you know Star Wars. Like, you know Darth Vader, you know about the Force, like, you know bits and pieces. Except my wife, because she didn't really know about it till we went to see The Force Awakens, and I had to show the original one. Because she's like, oh, what's this mean? Why are you worried about this dead Darth who? Not like, I'm one of the few people on the planet that's not Chinese or from China that doesn't know about Star Wars.
Yeah, that was when she said she didn't know what was going on. It's like, oh my God, I can't help you. So at first I was like, I don't believe that you've never seen Star Wars, but apparently those things are out there. But, yeah, it's funny you said that you didn't grow up with, like, a Thor doll. And I started going over, like, the old Mio dolls. They were dolls back then. I remember having Spider-Man, the Hulk, and Captain America. And that was it from Marvel. Yeah. It was all the DC ones. But I'm trying to think, what else did they even make? But, like, those were the households.
Yeah, if it had been anybody else, it might have been the X-Men. But that's about it. Because it's like, the main popular ones were Spider-Man, the Hulk, because of the show, and X-Men, and then Captain America, because it's Captain America's the oldest. But, like, no Iron Man or The Vision or nothing like that. So, yeah, DC's always been the thing where their big three, like, their main characters are more well-known because, one, they've been around longer, and then, two, they've been pushed. It's kind of like everyone knows Superman, Batman.
You know, I got to take that back. Know, like, they actually did have an Iron Man, and they had, of all people, they had Falcon. That can't be right.
Hey, trying to get that black dollar, I guess.
Yeah, here's your bonus.
Because it's not like we had a lot of choices. I don't think Blade was a thing back in the 80s. So,
no, Mego was 70. Mego was actually the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but no, back to the whole directing thing. It's like, if you, this is a big deal, their main movies are big deal movies, and I know people are getting a lot of, people have been talking about, oh, Kathleen Kennedy is, she's crushing the original. I'm like, no, she's, it's quality control. You want to nip this in the bud to make sure things go smoothly. Because all you got to do is look what Warner Brothers and DC is doing to see when you don't have your stuff straight. You really want to be taking that route? Like, people can complain like The Force Awakens was just Star Wars 2.0. And it's like, yeah, and Star Wars was a good movie. It's a whole generation of people who didn't grow up on Star Wars. They remember, their memories of Star Wars is about tax reform and midichlorians. Like, it's not just reintroducing Star Wars to a new generation. It's cleaning up the mess of the previous Star Wars movies that you've had. Sometimes being safe is fine, especially when it's your first movie coming back. And I think the whole thing is, like, we want it to be entertaining. We want it to be enjoyable to a wide audience. Because the dials and nerds are going to be there regardless. They can complain, oh, it's not what I grew up with. It's not what they're going to watch. They're going to go more than once because they have to see anything they miss. They're going to buy the Blu-rays two or three times. They're going to buy 4K and the special edition and the ultimate edition. And they may complain while they're doing it. That's going to stop them from doing it. So it's not about them.
Yeah. And that's what I always try to mention on these shows is that, you know, even like some of the topics we even talk about, the general audience has no clue. You know, it's not the nerd dollar. It's not like the hardcore dollar that's making, that getting these movies to $1 billion. Mm-hmm. Or making, you know, the toy, well, toys maybe, but like the toys getting up to, you know, billions of dollars in sales. That's not the dollar they're going for. And sometimes I lose sight of that, but like I'll go to the toy aisle and I see them and I'm like, I don't know who buys this stuff. And then you just forget, well, because you're not actually the audience. Like, you can tell, it's funny, in the toy aisle, you can actually tell, like, who toys are made for. Like, they've got that Star Wars bookcase. Have you seen these things?
No.
Oh, my God, they're awesome. I mean, they are fantastic. But you know that's for the adults who are going to keep them in the box because they're not going to, you know, they think they're going to be worth money. But that's what I'm getting at. Like, they're made by the audience. They think they're getting something from it. And with this, like, no one outside of, like, some people, you know, Trevor losing his job, no one's going to know. And now, you know, with Last Jedi coming out, I guess the pressure's on to find a new one. But from what I've been reading, it seems like, is it Rian? Rian Johnson? Or is it Rain?
It's R-I-A-N.
Yeah.
So, I hope it's Rian or Rian. I would guess Rian. It's funny, like, you read these names, but you never hear the names out loud.
Yeah. So, and then when you hear it, you're like, that's not how you say it. You're like, oh, wait a minute. Oops, yeah, it is. But it almost sounds like he's the front runner. Because they're super happy with what he's doing on Last Jedi. And if someone's going to know where the action's going to go, it's him. That's a pretty huge responsibility, because besides George Lucas, you know, doing the first three and original, they've never had a repeat director for any of them.
Yeah, they've never had a reason to, or there's been a lot of noise about, you know, I think it's the kind of like spread the wealth type thing, but it's like, get people, like, it's, you see how Marvel does things now, it's like they spread the wealth, but at the same time they have core people, like, we know these people are good with the big stuff. So we're keeping this, like, you know, we know, I can't think of the guy that does the, James Gunn handles the space stuff, so he's going to do Guardians and other stuff. He'll be in control of that. Big crossover movies, the Russos are good at it, so we don't keep them. And then everything else is kind of like, you know, you fit your role and knock it out. And it works that way. Like, quality control, people complain about it, but it's a reason why it's an important thing, because it works. And all you got to do is see the people who don't have quality control, and it's like, you know, what are you doing? And speaking of what are you doing, I know this is an ongoing thing. Warner Brothers, what are you doing?
You knew where I was going.
What are you doing?
Well, all right, let's start with a seemingly positive. How's that?
Okay.
Suicide Squad 2 finally has its director. It is not Mel Gibson, so there's that. I never really believed that was going to happen anyways, because it's not his. So, good luck with that one. The director that who has not signed, apparently, as of September 6th, Gavin O'Connor, who directed The Accountant with Ben Affleck, which I've not seen yet. That is in the queue, though.
How have you not seen that yet?
I just got HBO for Game of Thrones and then realized, oh, yeah, I have the app. I can go back and watch all this stuff. Because if it's not on Netflix, I don't bother. So I'm just kind of lazy. But so there's that. Yeah,
he also directed Warrior.
That was the MMA, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed that movie.
I did, too. And it's funny where I heard great things about it. I had bought it on Blu-ray, and I didn't see it till like almost 3 years after I purchased it. I finally watched it. I'm like, wow. Why did I take so long to watch this? Because I heard everybody that's seen it talked about how good it was, mm-hmm. and I like it. This is very good. And it's funny where I've heard mixed things. Like, some people, like, finally they have a good, competent director. It's not some off-the-wall stuff. He knows what he's doing. We can get, you know, a good movie. And other people's like, oh, why don't you take a chance? Like, no. How about you know, walk before you run?
Yeah.
As I always say. It's like, get somebody that's good at doing movies and have them do a movie. Like, you're not at Marvel's thing where you can do what you want. Because even Marvel had to get there. And people remember, like, it was some concerns, like, a Thor movie with Kenneth Branagh? Like, huh? Like, people wasn't really looking. Was like, oh, this sounds like something. Like, this seems weird. Captain America in hindsight should not have worked, because you rewatch the movie and like, it's a very good movie, but look at his costume.
Mm-hmm.
Let's really take a look at it and think about the time and place and think about when it came out and just watch that. And it's like, and even when I watch the Avengers, I kind of like give a side eye when I see his uniform. Like, I get the point of like, it just looks like some something I buy for a Halloween costume.
Yeah.
And I know it's done on purpose, but it's like the whole thing is like, it fits the character and it worked because they embraced it, but it could have easily not worked, because you can easily watch that and just start laughing. Like, why is he out there with his pajamas on?
Sorry, I had it muted.
Okay.
That was a thing. When I was watching Avengers, and I thought the same thing, like, ooh, I don't remember this. And then what came out next? Winter Soldier, right?
After the Avengers? No, for him, Winter Soldier. Yeah, and then you see his badass, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. Captain America. I'm like, yeah, it wasn't that long ago. It seemed like the way how things looked between the Avengers and that movie, it felt like it was like 5 years later. Everything looks more updated and clean and professional. Because even like now, you watch the Avengers, and even like Black Widow stuff, and it's like, some of it look cheap, even though that movie was not cheap. Like, that movie was an expensive ass movie, and it's not like it's a cheap looking movie, because it's a gorgeous movie.
Yeah.
But some stuff just looks like low rent.
That's what I was thinking too. I think that's the Russo brothers influence, because Captain America was an adult, Winter Soldier was an adult Marvel movie. I mean, not on par with the Netflix shows, mind you, but themes, look, all that stuff. And then you get, you know, they fixed all that stuff for everybody else, basically. Mm-hmm. And then now we've got, well, I guess, some brighter colored heroes now, but, you know, it's not really a point of it. But, yeah, that was pretty strange. But
yeah,
to get back to Suicide. Oh, go ahead.
They basically cleaned up, like, just a little bit that can bring down stuff, even if you get the big things right, because enough little things go wrong, you tend to notice. And one thing about Marvel movies now, it's like you don't worry about the little things as much. Like, the big things and little things are handled more efficiently than they were before, because, like, you everybody has their own, like, you know, more practice reps you get in, the better it is. And that's what DC needs to do. Like, you know, start, make a few good movies, and then worry about the universe. Like, Suicide Squad is a hard thing to sell to people anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the people don't know, because I got a group of villains, and they're fighting worse. And the first one, like, it could have been a good movie if they either... we've seen it with, like, a lot of movies, where you could see in a different universe, if they gave him more control, or they kept stuff, like, smaller, that movie would have worked a lot better. Or if they let some stuff breathe and not try to make it to like Guardians 1.5, it'd have been a lot better.
Well, I mean, they didn't re-edit or anything. I mean, that's what everybody said. So that was the original movie.
I call BS on that.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen enough.
I've got
I've seen enough David Ayer movies to know how he directs things, and heard enough stuff about, oh, they cut the trailer, and it, like, you could tell it's like two. It's like that Fantastic Four thing. You can tell it's two separate movies. Like, it's one half of a movie, and then the second half starts. It's like they were trying to do two different movies at the same time, because it's like, well, it's a complaint. We too grim, so let's smile it up. And it's like they took the wrong lessons from Guardians of the Galaxy, and they tried to put it onto a thing that should. It's like Suicide Squad shouldn't have been some happy-go-lucky movie. Like, if you're going to be humor, it should be like, not, oh, every 5 seconds is a soundtrack to a song that's like, it gets aggravating after a while. It's a different listen to, like, music you like back in the day from, like, the 70s, 80s, and then hearing an Eminem song and a Limp Bizkit song and, like, pop songs that is like, oh, yeah, I liked it back then. I wasn't missing it. Like, I don't get nostalgia from hearing Without Me. It wasn't that long ago. So,
and that's the funny thing is, it was like WrestleMania. Everybody's got their grand entrance with their theme music, and I'm like, what? But this isn't about Suicide Squad. This is, well, I guess this is about the new one.
Yeah, and it's, yeah. So it's like, clean that up and be like, do a good competent movie. Keep it small. That's the most. That's the, like, give characters time. Like, at least now you know the characters, so you give them a brief. And they had some good characters, you know, like Amanda Waller was great in the movie.
Yeah.
Will Smith was very good as Deadshot. Margot Robbie was high. Have them on the breathe in small stakes, and no more somebody shooting a space beam in the sky with rocks floating around. And like, I've had enough of that. Hey, I don't want to see that again unless it's like it's coming out Thanos' finger. Like, unless it's like some of like galactic level stuff, I don't want to see that on Earth anymore. Like, enough's enough. Like, everybody there, they run around with guns and knives.
Yeah, and
so let them do guns and knives.
Yeah, or they go into dangerous situations that the government doesn't want people knowing we're in. That was the entire point of them, was that they to get a group of people together. You make it out fine. If not, we don't care. And we go do nasty shit around the world, but you're going to go to guys. We're doing it under the guise that these supervillains attack somewhere if you get caught. That was the whole point. Not this bullshit where Flag's girlfriend, who we don't care about, seemingly survives. Well, not seemingly, does survive when the cool-ass guy should have survived. Like, the best. I understand everyone, you know, Deadshot, Harley Quinn, whatever. They made Diablo awesome and then kill him at the end. Like,
uh-huh.
What are we doing? I don't give a shit about the Enchantress.
I'm watching that like, okay, he's going to come back and like crawl under some debris or something, right? Like, and then you realize like, no, he died. And Scott Eastwood died. It's like, huh? Like, that seems kind of, I know it's sacrifice for the team and stuff, but that seemed kind of anticlimactic.
I was at the point where I'm like, all right, I think I like this movie still. I'm not sure. He dies, and I'm like, I'm not sure about this anymore. And I don't understand the reasoning, none of that stuff. Like, Scott Eastwood, you kept thinking he was going to turn out to be somebody. He didn't. He was just there. Like, wait, what? These are the problems I mean, the second one avoids. And you're exactly right. Make it small. I mean, hell, have him go after Harley... I wouldn't mind if it just took place right after the second one, or the first one, excuse me, and they go hunt down Joker and Harley Quinn, and, like, they're off to the side doing their thing while the rest of the team's out to hunt them down. That, I think that would be fine, but make it something like that. You don't have to make it, especially a supernatural or whatever, whatever you want to call it. You know, it doesn't need all the bells and whistles. And I don't know, like, I'm trying to remember who all's left. Because Harley Quinn's gone. So what do we got? Croc, Flag,
Captain Boomerang, Deadshot.
Oh, and Katana.
Which was barely... She basically was... It seemed like she was going to be in there more, and it's like, oh, we don't got time, so we're going to cut this stuff out. And it's like, you got to pay attention when you cut movies out. Like, that's why I give, like, Terrence Malick credit, where when he makes cuts, I guess they make, you're not afraid like cutting somebody out the whole damn movie. Yeah. It's like, there's no point in you. I don't care what your name is. If it doesn't fit my movie, I'm not going to have you in there for 5 seconds. I'd rather you not have in there at all. Which would suck if you invite your whole family. Like, oh, come see me in this movie. And then you watch the movie and realize, oh, I guess I'm not in there. Like, I was tumbleweed number 5.
Yeah.
Or something like that. So, yeah. And speaking of the whole Suicide Squad thing, one of the issues with the first one was the whole stuff with the Joker. Uh-huh. It's like, either if you have him in there, him the villain. If you're not going to have him be the villain, don't have him in there. Don't all this side stuff and everything was just derailing the movie. Like, and then Jared Leto playing him was like Mexican drug dealer version Joker. It's like, that's an acquired taste that I did not have a taste for.
Like, yeah, see, I didn't mind him being like kind of creepy, sleazy, whatever. Because I've seen people make the argument, well, he should just be, he should not be, not jovial.
They say he was too dapper.
Well, there's that, but he was too creepy. Instead of, like, I guess everybody, not Sid Caesar, what the hell was it, Cesar Romero Joker. That's what everybody sees. Or the Jack Nicholson one. Like kind of scary, but then you can laugh at him. And I was like, well, that's not really where the Joker went to as he progressed. So I really didn't mind, how evil he was, or I didn't like the look. I still see it and go, I don't get it. And then, yeah, him being...
It's not just the look. It's the whole stuff with him and Harley Quinn where people... It's funny, kind of like... People have different ideas of Harley Quinn based on what you remember from. If all you got was the cartoon, it's like, oh, she's in a goofy one-sided relationship with the Joker. It's kind of like abusive as hell when you really watch it. And the cartoon kind of like hinted at it, but not too much. And it's like, yeah, this don't seem healthy. The comics kind of fix that, where like she's a completely different character in the comic books, where she's more like an angel.
Yeah.
And in this one, is like they're trying to play it up as like this true romance crap. And even then, it's like what you're telling me is supposed to be and what you're showing me are not the same things, because you see him trying to murder her multiple times, and you playing it off like, oh, she's still in love and it's a strong thing. And then sometimes he misses her. What? He misses her because he didn't get a chance to kill her. Like, it was one scene they talk about, they were going to have him push, and we talked about, like, they're going to have him push her out the helicopter.
Yeah, that's how she originally gets out of the helicopters. He gets tired of her.
And it's like, that fits the whole story. And then it's like, at the end, he comes, rescues her, like, I'm coming home. And it's like,
yeah.
And that's bad enough, but the fact that, okay, all these movies, all these stories they're doing with the Joker, now we made the jokes about, Todd Phillips and Martin Scorsese doing a Joker origin story. And I made the joke off show saying, like, I guess they want to see if they can de-age Leonardo DiCaprio to be the Joker. I guess that wasn't as much of a joke as I thought it'd be, because they want Leonardo DiCaprio to be the Joker, but it's a separate timeline. Because they asked Jared Leto, like, well, how's that fit? He's like, I don't know. And,
Okay, hang on one sec. I don't remember this in the last show we were talking about. Did you mention Todd Phillips of The Hangover was going to be the director? I don't remember you mentioning that.
I didn't focus too much on it. I was focusing more on Scorsese producing.
But,
yeah.
I saw that, and like I said, I haven't been feeling that great. Because... I saw that and went, wait, what? Now, part of me immediately went, what? Why? And then, if you look at some of those Hangover movies, the first two especially, they're mean-spirited.
Oh, especially the third. I would think especially the third one.
Yeah, I kind of tried to forget the third one because I just...
The third one is like...
really didn't like it.
The third one was evil. But yeah, those movies kind of like... Yeah, those movies, like you were saying, they are kind of like... They're not jovial.
No. And what was his other one? Due Date?
Yes, it's also not jovial at all. Like, he's got a mean idea of comedy in America.
And I guess that's why it cracks me up, just how mean it is. But, I mean, that's right up my alley. So when I saw that, I at first didn't like it and then kind of thought, like, this may be a good fit. But... then I saw the Leonardo DiCaprio thing and just went, what? The other day, I ended up watching Dark Knight. It was on, and I just had it and left it on. And it's hard around that performance. And I know people, you know, I know it's the cool thing now is to go back and kind of bash it and go, well, this doesn't make sense. Blah, blah. I was like, whatever, it's still good. So, you know, Jared Leto was already behind the eight ball here. Bringing in Leonardo DiCaprio, when you've already established him as the Joker, huh? And now they're saying it's a separate timeline? Listen.
Yeah.
We already got Flash and Supergirl and all that that has nothing to do with stuff. What are we doing?
Because the only thing you can do is, like, that's the only thing that can make sense. Because how are you going to have a origin story with Leonardo DiCaprio playing a Joker when I think he's older than Jared Leto is?
And they look nothing alike.
Yeah, like, what? It's, what do you, you know, the thing is, it's not that I mind the separate timeline or, like, you know, stories that's kind of enclosed. Because Logan was, like, kind of, like, watching the X-Men movies help, but you didn't have to watch the X-Men movies to kind of, like, enjoy that movie. It's like, you kind of got the idea, like, stuff happened, yeah. He's been around, and this is this. So that's fine.
But what's the mitigating factor, though? It's the same guy playing the role.
Yeah, it's not the same playing the role. It's a story that makes sense.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, this is kind of like, you're doing an origin story that no one asked for in a universe that it's kind of convoluted to begin with, and they still don't have, they still trying to get their feet on the water, and you have it going the same time where you have a different Joker running around. It's like, yeah, that'd be like if they did Spider-Man Homecoming 2 and then Ultimate Spider-Man at the same time. Oh, you wanted Miles Morales, here he is. Like, he's in a verse that doesn't count. Almost kind of like what Sony's doing. We have a Spider-Man universe with no Spider-Man.
I'm still wondering how they're going to do that.
But I think it's a scam. I think it's some Jeff Jarrett Global Force Wrestling stuff. Like, we just have Marvel. We're just having to have Disney buy Sony movie studios, and we're just doing this because it makes no sense.
No,
like,
let's not kick a man when he's down either. So I'm kidding. Yeah, we can kick him all we want. Who cares?
No. Yeah, but it's kind of like this is. My whole point is, why? I know then people learn a lesson, like, you don't have to explain every villain. Like, they did the same thing with Hannibal Lecter. Like, Hannibal Rising is a horrible movie. You don't need to know everything. That's the beauty of it. And that's one of the things that books have the advantage over movies, is like, books can explain everything in detail, but your imagination can still expound on it because you're not seeing it. So it's your mind makes it see. So if someone puts a detail there, you can picture in your own mind, and you can picture it to fit your image. A lot of times better than the director do it. With TVs and movies, it's kind of like, it is what it is. Like, he looks, you know, it's different than describing somebody like raven hair and angular hair and yada, yada, yada. That can look like five different things. You put somebody's face on there, that's him. And if you like it, it's fine. And if you don't, you're going to have problems with it. And it's the same thing with this. It's like, no one... I don't care where that Joker came from. That's one of the reasons why Dark Knight works. It's kind of like, he's there. He's doing this. He has some training. He has some type of plans. That's all you know. That's all you need to know. I don't need to know if his parents beat him. I don't need to know, like, all those stories he tells, like, how he got the scar. It doesn't matter which one is true.
Yeah.
Like, that's not necessary. That's just getting his point across about, you know, a plan. And like, because he's kind of a hypocrite. He's an anarchist that's detailed in all his plans. But loves talking about how plans don't matter. Like, and you know, the thing that throws people off is kind of like, you're hearing one thing and not taking account. Like, you're just taking it face value. Like, it never accounts that someone I call the Joker might be lying.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like I said in the last show when we were talking about this, when he asked Batman, he said, you know how I got these scars? I don't care. Like, it's like he's the only guy to like, you know, see right through it. Which, I mean, he should. He's Batman. But, yeah, I'm with you. I'm still sticking to it. I don't care where the Joker came from. That's the whole point of it. He's supposed to be this little chaotic guy that just, for whatever, wants to murder people. And I'm just trying to figure out, one, did Jared Leto piss somebody off?
Like, I'm sure he pissed off people during it. I mean, like a trick question. You remember all the stories we talked about why they were filming Suicide Squad? Like all that nonsense he was sending people... condoms and rats or whatever nonsense he was doing. Like, he takes method after, you know how some people like getting their roles, some people take it way too far. Like, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis learned how to cobble shoes and sewing his own shirts that they wore in 1835 and getting pneumonia to get in the role. It's like, it's called acting. That means you can pretend like you just shouldn't have to. I gotta lock myself in a month how to be criminal. Like, why don't you rob a bank? like, why don't you rob a bank too? So you really get the idea. Like, you know, you really gotta snort cocaine to feel how I'll be cocaine. Like, let me use crack for 3 weeks. I need to really, like, that's, it's called for a reason. And it's funny how non-character actors make fun of, like, I'm not doing this nonsense. That's why I'm an actor. That's my job to pretend. And so the answer is, I can see him actually pissing people off because he just seems like the type that just kind of takes things too far. It's just another thing. It's kind of like DC don't know what they want to do. And it's kind of like we're just trying to make stuff work. Like, Justice League will be out in a few months. Would you really know? Like, I was reading somewhere where, of course, they were all under pressure. It comes out next year. And these are people like on these websites that know stuff like this. It's like, you would not know it was coming out 2 weeks after Thor.
Yeah, I remember we talked about that. They've already started the Thor press stuff. I got emails from Fandango, Regal, AMC about if I order a ticket now, I get a free Thor something, whatever, from this place, or free Ragnarok from this place. Yeah. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah. And Thor is kind of like the single movies where it's like, out of everyone that had their own individual movies, Thor is the one that's like, I guess. And this one is like, this one is not like that because it's just one looks completely different versus two Thor, and two, they just been hyping the hell out of it, like giving stuff people want to see. Justice League is like, they're Avengers. I mean, and it's like, it's a lot of noise behind it because the whole, we had to basically get a new director 2/3 through the movie, and they may, you know, they might still be filming as far as we know. And like, and it's like, they probably got a lot of stuff to fix on their own end, and it's not a lot, like, Sweet is not as beloved as he could be because of things that we don't really need to get into on this show, but it's just a whole symptom of DC is like, they're trying to get to the finish line. They didn't even stretch at the starting line yet. Like, small steps.
Yeah, I think Green Lantern probably had a lot to do with it, to where they got burned so badly, which is their fault. And then, you know, Superman, it did a lot of money, but not as much as they wanted. Superman, Batman didn't. They're like, I don't know how we're going to introduce these guys. Can't take a risk, so let's just do Justice League real fast. Oh, and by the way, we're going to put a bunch of scenes in Superman, Batman that shouldn't be there. Like,
yeah, okay. Like, no. This small. And somebody made excuses kind of like, you know, you got Batman and Superman, you're going to hit $1 billion. Batman by himself hit $1 billion twice in his last two movies. And I think the biggest issue, and not to kick somebody down, is they picked the wrong person to kind of lead DC. Like, it was a choice. I know Zack Snyder was the one they picked because I think they turned him down. And Nolan didn't want to do it himself. I would have gave Nolan whatever he wanted. Like, if it's something like this, like, how much do you want? Like, I'm just going to put a check there, and you fill it out. I mean, because it, people complain about him, but it's like, he's one of the few, like, people go to movies because of him. He's one of the few directors that's left. It's like, they'll go see the movie, they may not know anything about it. It doesn't matter who's in it. And if it was any that Dunkirk doing as well as it did, make as much money as it did about a single battle where the good guys lose, to kind of like dispel that. It's like, he has a name, like, you know, he can print money for the most part. And now it's like, you know, they're trying to fix the mess that was started. And even when they get something right, like, you know, I always wonder, does it matter? Like, I don't think Justice League will bomb. I have no clue how much I feel money, because one thing about DC movies is, even when they're not liked, they make money, because, you know, Batman versus Superman made almost $900 million. Suicide Squad made, what, 700, almost $800 million themselves. I know Wonder Woman doing as well as it did kind of shocked a lot of people, and then gave them more of like a breather, because it's like, you know, if Wonder Woman had not done well and then Justice League did bad, then yeah, they have serious problems. Now it's like they have breathe, where it's like, we got breathing room. But use it correctly. Don't have this, we're going to have three Joker movies. And then you have Shazam, like the whole Shazam, Black Adam thing. I didn't even talk to you about that. You know who they wanted to cast as Shazam, one of the names?
I was getting that up, actually.
We might as well. Because we always joke about these, like, crossing paths one day in movies.
All right, we'll get to it in one sec. The follow-up that you're saying, mm-hmm. Zack Snyder, after, what was the stripper chick one, or the,
Sucker Punch.
Thank you. I kept wanting to say Atomic Punch. Like, hang it. Sucker Punch bombed. His next movie is Man of Steel, which was produced with Christopher Nolan. And then him and Nolan disagreed on the ending. Christopher Nolan's like, well, the hell with it then. And he hasn't been seen on a DC movie since. And you can say what you want about the choices they made, but they were trying to go for a more realistic approach. I mean, outside the end, I guess. But that was... that had some of Nolan's touches on it. Then, Superman Batman certainly did not. Suicide Squad certainly did not. And, yeah, so I don't disagree with you on that at all. And then now, Justice League, I think the people who enjoyed Wonder Woman are going to go see it. So you're going to have at least, I'll go big, I'll say 50% of the Wonder Woman money is going to be by the people who probably would not have seen that if Wonder Woman wasn't in it.
I mean, people going to see it out of curiosity, because even with all the negative Batman Superman had, people still went and saw Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
And even when the bad reviews were out, people continued to see Suicide Squad. Like, that movie was out for a long-ass time and just killed money. So even out of morbid curiosity more than anything. So it's not like it's a Fantastic Four thing where it's bad or somebody no one knows about, they won't see it. You still deal with, like, Batman, Superman, the Flash. Like, people need it. So even out of curiosity, it's going to be like, I want to see it. Like, out of anything, because I'm just curious to see what's going on more than anything else.
Oh, yeah,
and
for sure.
Wonder Woman, so that'll be there. Wonder Woman being successful will add to it. I think Joss Whedon being there instead of Zack Snyder, because, like, Joss Whedon's a better director than Zack Snyder. So it's just... it's just curious because this big movie is going to be out soon, and it's just all this noise about it. And it's kind of like, not, I know people make the joke about the Murderverse and yada, yada, yada. This one is more like, I have no clue. I want to find out.
Wait, who'd they call the Murderverse? Zack Snyder's?
No, that's what they call, yes, they call DC Universe the Murderverse, where everyone's all dark and grim and killing everybody. Like, you haven't heard that joke before?
I haven't heard it termed Murderverse. So.
Yes, that's what they call it, and it started with like Man of Steel, the whole. And I always laugh because it's kind of like, I get why people see that, but I watch Superman and Batman movies, and it's kind of like, yeah, they were killing people then too. It was probably like off camera, like, oh, he didn't die, he just fell.
Yeah. Like, where the hell did Zod? What the hell were their names?
Ursula, Zod and all of them.
Zod and the other guy, Nan. Where the hell do you think they went? They just floating around in the clouds in the Fortress of Solitude still?
They landed on a pillow.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. Yeah, I forgot clouds are pillows. Yeah, it's God.
And, like, the whole thing with Batman, like,
a bomb in a clown's pants.
No. Not even counting Nolan's Batman. Watch the first. Not even
that's what I'm
Batman
talking about.
Returns. No, not even Batman Returns. Watch the first Batman.
Oh, true.
Like, that whole thing, the clown. He kills, not even as you say, oh, he didn't kill the Joker, he doesn't save him. He kills two of his henchmen. He kills two of them. Like, one he moves out the way and the guy falls and he doesn't try to save him and they fall. The other guy, he actively causes him to fall to his death. It's like, oh, well, you know, oh, I forgot about that. It's like, yeah, Batman, this whole I don't kill people, like, yeah, maybe on the animated series, but in the movies I remember watching, where Tim Burton had him kill him more. Because even Joel Schumacher was getting into, like, yeah, Batman was knocking off people those first four Batman movies. He was knocking off people in the next three Nolan movies. So, yeah, Batman showing up with a machine gun on the Batmobile was not surprising, because it's kind of like, let's cut these jokes aside. Like, Batman's been had bodies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even in training. I'm sorry, but even, what was it, Batman Begins?
Mm-hmm.
Doing all that stuff. It's like, yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah, he, like, all those ninjas didn't just survive that house he blew up at the League of Assassins, and then not even talking about all the stuff that happened in the trailer. I was like, come on, this whole, well, we don't actively see. It's like, you can put two and two together. They're in a house that blows up. You don't all see them run away. What do you think happened?
Well, it's not his fault, though. It's like, well, yeah, it looked like it actually was.
Yeah, so. he's the one that started the damn, he's the one that started exploding, so it is kind of his fault.
Yeah. But anyways, so it's like that stuff, but no, Murderverse, no. sorry to cut it short, but it's like, goddamn, we got to get into something else still. But, but going back, like, I still... Alright, so yeah, I saw who they wanted to, I was trying to figure out them around it, but yeah, I saw the potential for Shazam. They already said Rock's not going to be Black Adam in this movie, though. Which, to me, is just ridiculously stupid. But when I saw who they were going to have as Shazam, I'm like, well... I mean, I... You know, when the Miz...
Just say the name.
When the Miz was saying, you know what, we're gonna have our match at WrestleMania, you're going to disappear for months, you're going to come back, I'm here doing this. Roman Reigns said the same thing. It's like, you're allowed to do what you do because I'm here all the time. And then John Cena decides to say, you know what, you're saying the same thing everybody else is saying. Because they're right. That's why everyone's saying it.
The same thing you used to say.
Ugh.
And you got clowned on for saying it. That's. I don't even want to get to the whole wrestling thing.
No, I know, but it's not, like...
Yeah. You become what you hate, yeah. And it's hilarious that this, and it's a reason why John Cena pauses the rock. Oh, you know, one day this might be me, and I'm gonna sound real stupid saying this nonsense. It's like, the time is up, your time is now. Like, yes, you are here, John Cena, because it's kind of like, you're not just filming WWE films anymore. You're a movie star now. Like, yeah, you know, you're gonna have this match with Roman Reigns, and then go film Bumblebee, and then. Depending on how things go, you might come back, have a match or two like this, and become Shazam. Like, I would have never guessed. And I've been watching TV and wrestling time. And the idea, the potential effect of John Cena as Shazam versus the Rock of Black Adam in a major motion picture thing. Like, I have a vivid imagination. I believe dreams are possible. But even this one, it's kind of like, I just laugh at thinking about that, because somebody's saying, like, could they see John Cena? I'm like, think about the character Shazam. A 12-year-old, what would he think about how a superhero would look like? Big guy, big muscle, and everything like that. Who does that sound like? A big overgrown man child that dresses like a kid that can do whatever he wants and believes in doing the right thing. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like somebody we watched for 15 years on TV? Like,
brightly
he doesn't
colored.
Have to have.
I don't
yes, brightly colored. Like, you know. Shazam didn't wear jorts, but when I can see John Cena being Shazam real easy, because he kind of was to a certain extent for a long ass time to the detriment of a lot of grown up fans. So it's like, that seems like perfect casting to me. Like, if what you think about, like, really think about John Cena, the character he played on WWE for like a decade, and then you think about the essence of Shazam. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So Shazam is I'm doing something to write. Hang on a second.
Mm-hmm.
Here's all right. If you want, I also wondered. I'm not saying that this is why, but I didn't realize how tall The Rock was compared to John Cena. Shazam is supposed to be was the comics like answer to Superman, so he's supposed to be tall. Now I'm actually taller than John Cena is, which I just found out. So I think if there's anything people are going to knock, it'll be that.
Yeah, but I see this big enough where his height doesn't matter.
Yeah, and also you can get around that too.
Mm-hmm.
But I notice him growing his hair out too. So Shazam doesn't have... I'm sorry, not Shazam. Well, yeah, Shazam. I'm not used to calling him Shazam. It's supposed to be Captain Marvel, but whatever. He's got, like, longer black hair, no problem. If you want to dye his hair, which I wouldn't suggest, actually, with John Cena. I'm trying to see if there's any mock-up pictures. Like, if anyone's done... Oh, yeah, here we go. Let's see. Yeah, there's a few. I don't know. It'll be weird. It'll be weird seeing him in, like, the suit and cape and all that stuff. So...
And I never got the whole idea. It's kind of like you want to separate Shazam and what? I'm like, you got the Rock. Use the damn Rock. What are you doing? Like, he's busy. In case they didn't realize, like he don't need DC movies, and he can easily, like, you know what? If y'all can, I'm sure Marvel can find something for me easy. So y'all better hurry up. And the fact that you have a thing here, and although it would be hilarious seeing John Cena versus The Rock, like just in a movie, like Mr. McMahon probably watched that, just laugh his ass off, because it was some. I don't know if you saw on Twitter, it was some guy put a thing kind of like, you know, who do you think of the five most popular wrestlers around, like as far as like you ask a person and they see him walking down the street. And I know people put John Cena, a lot of people like, John Cena? I'm like, yeah, John Cena. Like, he's the most popular person of his generation, and he does movies now. Yes, people tend to forget how popular John Cena is with kids, first of all. Like, people don't even know wrestling. Like, my wife don't watch wrestling that much. She knows John. Like, she might think about, you know, oh, the Fruity Pebbles guy is kind of the first, like, the Rock kind of rolled that boulder was as far as that go. And I hope John Cena sends him a Christmas basket every damn Christmas. It was kind of like, because that kind of started that whole thing, because he started getting more endorsements, and I see him on, like, commercials. What was that, like, what was it, X body spray? It was some body spray one.
No, he's doing Tap-Out body spray.
Yeah, Tap-Out body spray. He has the paper towel one. Like,
yep. He's got, like, the garbage bags.
Yeah, like, he's in commercials. He's doing movies. He's doing TV shows. It's like, people who don't even watch wrestling know John Cena. Like, if you turn on the TV, you might see some like, he's at a Nickelodeon Award. He hosted the Emmys. Like, he's known. Not just a wrestling thing known. Like, he's known. Way more than, like, you know, the Ultimate Warrior would be. Or even, like, something like The Undertaker. It's like, yeah, people know The Undertaker, but it's like, how many non-wrestling people know The Undertaker? And even then, he's probably one of the most popular ones just because he's been around so long and he's just so unique character. Like, Flair stands out because I told him, I was like, kids remember Ric Flair because their parents talk all the time. You watch NFL game day and, like, 17, 18-year-olds doing Ric Flair promos. Mm-hmm. They didn't grow up. They didn't see those matches when he did on the 80s. Like, people know Ric Flair. Like, Ric Flair's that thing that's been around because everybody talked about him. Like, I remember my parents grew up watching Ric Flair. And I grew up watching Ric Flair. So, but even in the, and that was kind of like, I watched him in the 90s, and he had been wrestling since the 70s. He was still wrestling in the 2000s.
Yeah.
And it's like, you see old promos, you see talking about, I'm like, he has a style that he's, you know, imitable. Like, people impersonate that. Like, it's, he's known. So, and of course, it's like the big three. Like, everyone knows Hogan, everyone knows Austin, everyone knows The Rock. It's like the four and the five ones kind of argue, like, who you might be, because, like, Andre the Giant, because of who he was. I saw Cena, I saw Flair, I saw Taker, and, like, Brock Lesnar just because, like, his UFC stuff.
See, I wouldn't, all right, just, I know we got a little diverted, but I wouldn't put Taker on that list. And the only reason I say that is Taker is only recognizable as the character. Where Steve Austin walks around, he doesn't have to be in character. You go, mm-hmm. That's Steve Austin. The Rock walks around, and you go, oh my God, it's a superhero. Hulk Hogan, same thing. Taker's always got to be in costume for you to really really get who it is. So it's like, it sounds mean, but I wouldn't consider him. Like, if someone says The Undertaker, you immediately go, who that is.
Yeah.
And it's appearance test. But, like, seeing them or saying, hey.
Well, if you saw a six, seven, you know, with a whole bunch of tattoos around, you're going kind of like, even if you don't know who it is, he's going to be noticed. Like, that's probably somebody. Like, some people, it's kind of like, you kind of know just because they're so damn big. And that's the thing about the size where you don't take into account. It's like, it's different watching on TV than when you see him in person. Like, when you see people like the Big and Mark Henry, it's like, yeah, because people say, oh, you're tall. I'm like, no, I'm not tall. I'm taller than, like, average people. Shaq's tall. Like, when I think of tall, I think of someone like, you know, imagine you, like, 6'9". Like, even when I see someone that's, like, 6'5", I'm like, wow, he's tall. Imagine if you 6'9", or 6'10", or you, like, 335, 340 pounds. He must look like a monster walking around with a bunch of 5'7", 5'8", people. Like, you don't even look normal.
Well, see, that's what I told you before. I'm the shortest one in my family. So, like, being around tall people isn't a big deal for me because my brother's 6'9". And he's not a skinny 6'9". So, you see it. Yeah, he's the one that complains when people ask if he played basketball.
From a fan of Hopkins, though.
Yeah.
If you're the shortest person in your, like, I'm the tallest person in my family, but our family's not necessarily tall. Like, I'm 5'11 and a half, 6 feet. And I don't think of myself as tall. Because, oh, you tall? I'm like, I'm be like Chris Paul's height. If you call Chris Paul short. Like, Steph Curry probably has like 4 inches on me. And that's when you realize about how funny height is. When you think of, like, people's, like, it's relative where people look like, oh, Steph Curry, this slight little guy. Like, he's like 6'4". How many people you hanging around with 6'4" you calling short?
Yeah.
Like, he's taller than majority of people walking around at WWE right now.
You know, so that cracks me up. I had no idea Chris Paul was 6'4". I think it was like 5 foot something.
No, Paul's 6 feet. Like, Curry is 6'4".
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of, because you don't think about it, because, like, you know, you walk around with people that's like 7 foot or 6'9", or 8, and that's why they always, you know, we got off top a little. That's why they, Vince McMahon, try to kind of keep wrestlers away from, like, athletes. It's like, oh, you can book Andre the Giant 7 foot, whatever, but don't put him next to Wilt Chamberlain. It's like, oh, yeah, it's like, Show doesn't look so, it's funny, like, Show looks big, and he's a big man, but whenever he's with Shaq, it's like, oh, like, yeah. Then you realize, like, Big Show isn't as big as you think, or Shaq is bigger than you remember. It's like one of those two things, because, like, you tend to forget, like I'm a Sixer fan. Joel Embiid's like 7'2".
Yeah, like, it is funny how that works. Can you
imagine that? Like, imagine he showed up, like, Raw, and he's doing a run like Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar would look like me.
Somebody that makes Brock Lesnar look small is Braun Strowman.
Yes.
And put him with a Big Show. Big Show looks, Strowman looks small. And then you got, like, that whole thing with Shaq and Big Show, and Shaq towered over Big Show, it looked like. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, it's like that whole just go down. Like, you ever seen that picture of, like, they show the planet Earth, and then they show, like, Saturn or Jupiter, and they show this, and they show this one. And then you look back down at the end, and Earth's like a little dot. That's that image, basically.
Yeah, perspective has a way of kind of messing with your eyes where you don't realize how big people are until you see them next to, like, people that you think are big or people you think that's small. And it's like sports, when I think about, I watch football players, we kind of take, oh, you know, guys. Like, imagine you playing, it's some guy that's like 6'6", 320 pounds, and he runs the 40-yard dash in like less than 5 seconds. It must feel like you're getting chased by a damn bear. Like, it's different, like, think about how fast, like, Reggie White was. Reggie White was, like, 300-plus pounds running, like, a 4.8 40 in the 80s. Could you imagine that? Somebody that damn big just running you down like he's a tiger?
Yeah.
Like, that'd be, like, the scariest thing in the world. Like, you're not – human beings shouldn't – like, certain human beings shouldn't – I'm a fan of, like, sports because they do things that shouldn't seem humanly possible. Like, certain – like, you don't expect someone, like, oh, when they talk about the Kansas City game – Tyreek Hill, like, he was running almost 24 miles an hour. You know how fast that is? Like, people think about, like, I go 25 in a car and I don't think it's fast, so you just zooming by the shotgun. Man, this mind is running 25 miles an hour.
Yeah, and like, that's what people around here do in Charlotte in the left in the, on the expressway. So, yeah, I know exactly what 24 mile an hour, like, feels like.
Yeah, but it's somebody in a car. Imagine somebody just running and just left you in traffic. You'd be like, are they feeling the flat? Like, I always laugh about that scene in Civil War when it is running down the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
When it's like Black Panther, Winter Soldier, Captain America. Like, they got them moving like they're moving like 55, 60 miles an hour. Like, I feel like I was on drugs if I saw that. If I just saw somebody that's zoomed by. But, yeah, speaking of perspective and directing and other stuff, one thing that kind of slid underneath is, like, the whole X-Force thing. We hadn't talked about that in quite a long time.
Yeah, because it's, well, is what, which one got casting news? Oh, no, that was Titans, which we're not going to get into this time, but
yeah,
there's been pretty mum on the X-Force stuff. Who's going to direct the X-Force movie?
Drew Goddard.
That's familiar.
Because he's done stuff that you think about Daredevil, who was the original showrunner.
Ah, that's right.
Yes, he was the showrunner for Daredevil. He wrote the film adaptation for The Martian. He wrote the screenplay for World War Z. He directed Cabin of the Woods. Like, it's a name where he's done a lot of stuff that people like, but you may not necessarily know him. It's like, oh, I like this. I like that. It's like, I remember this movie. I remember how, like, The Martian was enjoyable. Everybody remembered, like, people love Daredevil Season 1. It's like, yeah, he was the showrunner for that. He's, Cabin in the Woods was an awesome, like, I still love that movie, because it was just, that was one of those movies, like, out of nowhere. Like, you didn't hear that much about it, and then you don't know what to expect. And it's like, yeah, he does a lot of quality stuff. So the fact that they have him, like, bringing and directing, it's like, kudos to Fox. Like, that's a get. And normally you don't say that, like, kudos to Fox for stuff like that. But this kind of, like, when they get out their own way, they tend to do well, surprisingly.
That's funny, because they're calling the X-Force a Deadpool spinoff. So does that mean Cable and Deadpool are going to be in it? Or
yeah,
are the events of Deadpool going to...
No, I'm assuming Cable, Deadpool, and Domino are going to be... Because it's funny, it's... X-Force team looks completely different depending on what time frame, because the 90s X-Force is the Rob Liefeld area where everybody got triple D's and no feet, and that's Cable and Domino and Shatterstar and Cannonball and all of them. And then the other X-Force team is when Cyclops, like, we need mutant murderers, and that's like Wolverine and Deadpool and Psylocke and Archie and the like. The funny thing is they have all of those characters, or they have a lot of those characters, so they can go either way, and they're doing New Mutants, so it's like, I'm wondering which way they go. They can go either way. Having Deadpool, like Deadpool 2, build off the X-Force is fine, because like, you introduce the characters, so you don't have to reintroduce them when you have an X-Force. It's like, okay, I know these people, so I don't have to do the whole origin story with them, as compared to like, you just drop X-Force, like, who are them? But they ain't the X-Men. Where's Hugh Jackman at? Like, you want to try to avoid those type of questions, if possible.
Which is why whenever they talk about Deadpool, and people are like, yeah, Wolverine should show up in Deadpool, just because of the Hugh Jackman thing, and it's just leave it alone, and let Deadpool be like his little side of the universe that winks, and says, yeah, I know the X-Men, and it goes on and does his own stuff. Which would be kind of difficult, though, if you brought in Psylocke, and that's how you could bring Angel back, at least. After the events of Apocalypse, you know, at least something.
You know the beauty of the Fox universe is, one, like, Deadpool can always crack a joke and like, oh, we got the casting rights for this, don't ask. Reboot. And then two is like, Fox timeline is so jacked up anyway. It's like, they don't. And I kind of like, as much as I like Marvel's thing, like, I'm a fan of both. Marvel's because, like, everything fits and makes sense, and, you know, you get this. But I also get the whole complaint is kind of like, if you just jump in now, you're going to be like, huh? Like, depending on what movie you watch, like, this, and this. Like, you kind of had to, like, it'd be like watching Game of Thrones, and the first season you watched was Season 5. You have no reference. It's like, who's this? And are they related, and they kissing, and... a dragon, and like, huh? And everybody's names, the names, Daenerys, Jaegerys, like, it's hard keeping up with some of this stuff if you're not there from Jump Street. With the Fox stuff, it's like, even if you're there from Jump Street, it doesn't matter as much, because like, it's all over the place. And I think their whole thing is, make a good movie and the other stuff later. And it's funny where the spinoff ones that don't know, like, you know, Logan and Deadpool seem to do that better than what they're doing with the X-Men, because I'm more excited about New Mutants stuff and X-Force stuff than I am about the next X-Men movie. And that's kind of backwards, but...
New X-Men movie, I have... Especially when they said... I read about... It's going to be the Phoenix something. I don't know if they can call it Saga or not, but... They're going to try and ground it and take away some of this. I'm like, nope.
You didn't learn your lesson. It's like, how you going to ground, like, on one thing, you're going to ground the Phoenix Saga, but then you're going to cast aliens. Jessica Chastain, so will be Lalandra. Like, one plus one ain't equals zero on this thing. It's like, that doesn't mesh. We're going to ground this thing that's this fantastic thing, but we're going to bring aliens in. What are you doing? Like, if you're going to, and that's the whole thing, people don't, they still, like, if you're going to do the X-Men are weird as hell. Be weird.
Yeah.
Like, embrace that. Go all the way out. Like, you got the money now. CGI has come far enough where you can basically do whatever you want. So, if you're going to go out, go all the way out. If not, leave it alone. And it's like, it's almost where it's kind of like, this. It's still this idea when it comes to X-Men, like, they're afraid of going full superhero. And DC had the same problem, too. It was like, you know, we want to ground stuff. Stuff makes sense. It's like, it ain't never, and I always laugh, you know, into that. It's like a guy walking around with a bat on his chest. It's only going to make so much sense. Like, I mean, you can explain, like, it was a military prototype, and it happens in science. I'm like, it's Batman. He's called Bat. Let's be real. It's not like Arrow is like he's the vigilante, or he's like a madman running around murdering people. Like, that I can see grounded, because, like, you know, yeah, they look at Arrow like a psych, like a sociopath, because he was. Batman's Batman. Like, embrace being Batman. Embrace being the X-Men. You got shooting lasers and floating and turning to metal and controlling the damn weather. How you going to ground that? Like, just don't do it.
Well, how are you going to have a story grounded when the story is about an alien that takes over somebody, right? Isn't that what the Phoenix was? Or was it the Phoenix Force, whatever? So, there. And then you go out into space, which I guess they're going to get rid of that and just have the Shi'ar come here. And then, you know, Gladiator shows up, you know, the guy with a purple face and a mohawk. And, you know, I guess since we have blue people, purple won't be that bad. But then they're going to come down, they're going to put her in a laser beam and kill her. But we're going to keep all that grounded. It's like, no.
What's he going to be? What's he going to be, bipolar? Yeah. Are they going to do that same nonsense they did? Like, they didn't. And the worst part about it is kind of like, The Last Stand was a thing. Even the people that's in the X-Men universe that wrote the movies kind of like make the movie. Like, they kind of knew we messed up there. But you're going to make the same mistakes? It's like, you have already seen what happened when you try to ground it or try to keep things under wraps. You made jokes about that, but yet you're going to do it because it's going to be different this time. Like, and then it's a first-time director, and it's the movie he's doing. Like, I know it's like everybody got graduated to the big leagues, but, like, I trust Marvel when they do that with Marvel films. I don't necessarily trust Fox doing that because I've, like, I mean, like, their quality's been all over the place. Like, they've had some great movies, and they've had some bad movies.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, I don't know. I'm making that face like, I don't know about this.
I know.
Is the face I'm making. Like, I'm looking forward to Deadpool 2. I'm looking forward to other movies, like this X-Men movie. Like, I don't know.
Well, one thing, it's not exactly we were looking forward to it. We'll wrap up with this. I haven't talked wrestling in a while. And the Mae Young Classic, I did not get a chance to listen to you and Kevin's show. I didn't listen to this week's either. It's latest Stunt Granny audio. The Mae Young Classic is ending this Tuesday. I'm guessing they're going to film it after SmackDown?
It's live.
Okay, so I'm guessing it's after SmackDown?
Yes, it's after SmackDown, yeah.
Ooh. Is it going to be from Full Sail, or is it going to be in the SmackDown?
No, it's going to be in Vegas. So it's going to be there.
I don't know how I feel about that, actually.
I mean, people will stay to see that. When else, whole thing is like, when else would you do it? You're going to have it live, and then you're not going to have it after Raw.
I honestly thought it was going to be on the next TakeOver, and they were going to give it a while. But
how? Well, we just had a TakeOver.
Yeah,
like,
I know. That was the thing. That's what I was trying to figure out. It's the next it's like, Survivor Series, right?
I mean, how long you have to wait? Like, they already, that's kind of, like, pushing it. You going to have them sit around for, like, a month?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm getting at. Well, I mean, this was taped, what, back in May, June?
It was taped like a little while ago. It was taped, like, maybe, what, a month ago, month and a half ago? So it's been taped for a while, but it's kind of like, once they were doing, like, 4 episodes at a time, it's like, oh, okay, so they must be wrapping up kind of soon. They dropping all these episodes, because especially this week, it's like, oh, you watch these, like, it's all the way up to the finals. It's like, okay. And I think the timing works because Asuka just gave up her belt. They showed that episode this week on NXT. So you're going to have it live. You're going to be in front of a live crowd. Like the SmackDown crowd will be into that. They've done it. It's funny where people weren't sure about it, but like once people start watching it, it's like, oh, this is awesome. Beside the commentary, which is, the less said about that, the better.
Okay, well, we can discuss that real quick. I don't think it's been terrible, but it hasn't been that great. And it almost seems, because I remember Jim Ross saying that they had to go back and re-record or redub, whatever, a lot of the commentary.
Yeah.
He comes off at times as like a real smartass. Like the lines he's supposed to say, he doesn't believe them. Because, Jim Ross is Jim Ross, and he does his own thing. But it seems like he was fed lines, and I wish I had a specific example. I don't. But he said one, and then he just said, because I'm cool like that, or something like that. And I'm like, what? Like, where did that come from? So, and then Lita, whatever. This is the second time she's done commentary. She did it for Heat for a while.
It's kind of like, I never thought the day would come where it was like, I would heckle Cole doing instead of Jim Ross.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest issue is kind of like, you compare it to the Cruiserweight Classic where you had Marl and Daniel Bryan. They were both excellent. And then you had, the UK one is the real surprising one, because I've always been a fan like Michael Cole. It's kind of like, I remember when Michael Cole was real good. Even I was amazed by how good he was at the UK class. People was kind of like, who the hell is this and what he do with Michael Cole? Because him and Nigel, like, Michael Cole knew everybody. He was breaking down stuff, talking about the history and like that. And you forget, like, Michael Cole is like a professional. And you could tell, like, he did his homework. He knew when to make stuff important. And that was a harder thing because you didn't know none of those people in the UK Classic. And that was over like a weekend. And by the time it was over, it was all in. And it was helped because of him and Nigel McGuinness made you care. And this one is kind of like, I don't know if it's just the nature of the show or they don't know the people or just seem like dry. And it's like, at least I know why they picked her. Like, you need a big woman name. She's known, she's there. But it's just not fitting. But beyond the bad part, it's funny how you see, like, especially how the Final Four came, like, how unexpected it is. But if you watch it from beginning to end, it makes sense. Like, the breakdown, because we were talking about before, like, Tessa Blanchard lost the first round.
Yeah.
And that was kind of, like, surprising. And it's like a lot of people that was like Santana Garrett lost in the first round. It's like, they got a lot of big names and good names that's like losing early, but it's kind of like building up. Because it's kind of like, I think they know what they have with certain people. It's like, they can sign Tessa Blanchard when they want. I don't know why she ain't signed already. Like, you them daughter of a horseman, and she's been there. She's known how she's not, like, if she's not working with Charlotte a year from now or 2 years from now, I'd be shocked. Like, you know what you got with her. You know what you got with some of these people. Like, you can just get them whatever. So that was like, I can see that. I think it was more like a showcase for some of the newer names. But you supply, like, Piper Nevin got a lot farther than I thought she would. Just because body type, you know how WWE is.
Yeah. Oh, no. Believe me. When she won her first round match, I was like, wow, really? But we've also discussed on the show how that's changed, too.
Mm-hmm. But so, even then, that's changed with the men. But the women are kind of different. Like, even with NXT, like, it's the same. It still is like, she got a lot farther than I thought, all things considered. But it kind of built where, her and Toni Storm kind of knew each other. They had a rapport. Like, that all the matches kind of told a story. Like, Shayna Baszler being, like, Chong Li for the most part until she got to the semifinals was awesome because, like, she's in there. She's not shaking anybody's hand. She's choking out. She was like, she was doing one of the few healer stuff that match with Candice LeRae where she didn't let go of the hold and then she kicked at her when she was. And I was like, oh, this is some. And you just see Johnny Gargano, they're like, he just, like, this damn jerk. And then all the stuff with, like, her and, like, Ronda Rousey and the rest of them was feeding into it. But then it gets, like, she gets with Mercedes Martinez, like, okay, that's her, like, that's the first person hand she shake. She's showing, like, that's the first person she respected, like, in the semifinals. Because Mercedes Martinez got a lot farther than I thought she would, too.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be a quick one, just honestly because of her age. But because they kept pounding that it was she was a veteran, she was this, years. She was this, and it's like, all right, well, she's not long for this tournament. Like, oops.
Yeah, but she was. It's kind of because the other veterans, like Serena Deeb, she was their veteran and, you know, redemption story. She made it past one round. Second round, boop, she gone. And the Mexican luchador, same thing, long veteran, like, she got where she got, and that's it. But look, they kept pushing, like, Mercedes Martinez, and it's like, she's one of those few where I knew who she was just because I just heard her name, and it's like, I don't follow indie wrestling like that, but I've heard her name for the longest. Like, her name always came up, but I never saw on TV. Like, she was never in TNA, she was never in WWE, she's just a name. So see her, and to see her get to, like, the final, it's funny you look at that Final Four, and you think about how it had been, like, 5 years ago. Like, if this was, like, old WWE, Lacey Evans is in the finals. You know, the Marine, I'm a Marine,
oh.
I'm blonde,
oh my God,
I'm a mom, oh. I'm a husband, I'm about apple pie, and yeah, like, they
yeah, I really, been, that was really, really... annoying.
Like I was like, she reminds like a worse Michelle McCool. Like, she just so insulting. And it's kind of like, but back in the day, that'd have been like, oh, she'd have been our hero. And now she's like, nope. Like, you look at the Final Four, it was Mercedes Martinez, it was Shayna Baszler, it was Kairi Sane, and it was Toni Storm. You got the Toni Storm is this, like, she's like 22. Like, she's young. And like, she's been wrestling for a while. Like, she got star. She got a lot of star potential. Like, she's got personality out the ass, and the fact that she's so young and like that good, that, and it's kind of like, you know, because I always laugh when they did it with what's his name, the Bruiserweight guy from UK,
oh, Pete Dunne.
He's got 12 years of experience, and he's like 23. Like, they've been wrestling since they were like in eighth grade. So it's like all these people, like, they got all this experience and they're like early 20s and stuff. And then, like, you know, of course you got Shayna Baszler, who I didn't realize is as old as she is, because she's like in her mid-late 30s. And she's like, every time I say, I'm like, you know what? She's who Baron Corbin should be. That's the first thing that just jumped in my head, because it's like, that's who she reminds me of. It's kind of like, even with her face. And not like in a bad way, because it's like she just like mean person that's going to choke you out, and she don't play any games, and that's what she there for.
Yeah.
And we all know about Kairi Sane. It's kind of like, man, she just so damn, one, she gonna be a star, like, because they rest.
Well, man, that's when you mentioned earlier in the show about people doing like heroic feats or super heroic feats and that sort of stuff, like athletes doing that stuff.
Yeah.
I still, that elbow drop, I don't get it. I don't know how she's able to walk. Everyone said that. She doesn't brace herself. And, you know, even Randy Savage, I don't know, did he get a hip replaced? Or his hips were bothering him for the longest time.
Yeah. Most people do that move, their hips bother them, and they don't land like she's landing. Like, even them, they brace themselves. She landed like rib first or hip first. Like, her body is like parallel to the mat, and she probably what, like, a buck 05, like, she would than Sasha Banks does.
Yeah, and if you're that poor Bianca Belair chick, I don't know if she pissed her off or whatever. That back, well, it wasn't a back fist at least, but that back slap, that's either the greatest acting job I've ever seen in wrestling, or she got knocked into it yesterday. And then she goes up for that elbow. And that was no elbow. That was a side splash. Holy shit. I was like, that poor girl. I mean,
yeah, I was laughing at that whole match, because one is like, Bianca Belair's been wrestling for a year. Like, imagine her 2 years
from now.
God
damn, that's it.
A year, that's it. And it's kind of like, she's deadlifting like 425. Like, you know, they had the NXT Combine things, and they had like the top three. She's like one or two in like everything. Like, every single event they had, she's top three, and she's usually number one. Like, it's usually her, Ember Moon, and then depending on the event, it's somehow, like, I know, like, it's some funny ones, because they, like, Peyton Royce showed up in, like, agility, or, like, the dash, Mandy Rose shows up in a few, it was, like, a random girl here. But normally, it's, like, Ember Moon and Bianca Belair, like, we've always talked about how WWE would look when they get like these real athletes and get them early, and they look like her, because she looks like she was like a college NCAA athlete out her ass, like, and she knows how to work the camera. She's got presence about her, and I know you don't like it. I'm so laugh whenever she used that damn ponytail as a whip, because that, trust me, that hurts.
Oh no, I have no doubt it hurts. I just don't understand, and I know it's wrestling, so just whatever. But I don't get in the rules how it's legal, and they keep saying, I guess it's her hair. Well, she's got it down.
I mean,
but she has it down to like, basically, you know, if your hair's in a ponytail, that's fine. But her hair is actually constructed to be a fucking. So no, I mean, that's a little different. Like the Iron Sheik wasn't allowed to use the tip of his boots. I mean, he did anyways.
Yeah, but that's boots. What are you gonna do? Tell her cut it? You gotta have your hair up. That's the whole. That's the funny thing. It's how the same thing was like. How would you like? She could use that as a chokehold. She could put somebody on a sleeper with a damn hair and strangle them. What are you supposed to do? It's part of her body. It's not like her boots or like she's using her wrist tape. It's kind of like you can headbutt somebody. Like, you know, you can do a big splash if you fat on somebody. It's kind of like you use your body as an advantage. It's just the whole fact. I've never seen that, and I never thought about it. Because the first time she pulled it out, what match was that? First round match. And I was like, I was talking to Kelmate. I had to rewind. I'm like, what? Like, did I just see what I did? She really used her hair as a whip? And then she put on, and like Kyrie said, because Kyrie's so damn small, and she can sell her ass off. Kyrie, she like got stabbed.
Yeah. Well, like, that sounded like she was getting whipped, and I was like, holy God, that sounds... I'm sure if we go back and watch, she's probably like slapping her leg or something.
No, but... I watched it. She was not slapping her leg. She was taking her hand, because she was like bracing herself with one hand. She's taking the other hand to swing her damn hair. And she just, because it's kind of like, that's
when
you don't
think
you just
was doing it. Was like slapping her leg or something.
No, Kyrie Singh had her arms up trying not to face.
That's fucking
because I watched it too. Because they showed it on like WWE.com. And I was just laughing. It's like, this feels like a hate crime. Like, it just feels something. It just felt so off about it. Because you just see, because Bianca Belair is not small. But Kyrie Singh is small. So you seen this big girl just whipping her. And then she pulled a 450 out. Like, it was no big thing. I'm like, we just have all these, like, that's just funny where women's wrestling used to be and where it is now and where it'll be, like, 3-4 years from now. Like, yeah, people like Kelly will not be able to hang these days. Like, it ain't, no offense to Kelly, because it's kind of like she didn't get that training and she didn't come from that background. It's like, we just put on the air from you cute. It's like, now these girls who look just like her that can wrestle and they can do moonsaults, and they deadlifting 350, 400 pounds. They running, they doing hurdles. Like, they training like Olympic. Like, Triple H is doing God's work. It's like, we're going to get these athletes, and we're going to train athletes and train like wrestlers to get them young. So when their hair is like, yeah. And it's just so many names where it's kind of like, even part of me want to rewatch it just to think about all the stuff I miss, just to see like all these people get, because they got people from like, that big Indian girl, what's her name? Like, something Devi. It's like, how'd you find these people? It is laughing, talking about, oh, she was trained by the Great Khali. I'm like, I never seen a Great Khali do a damn rope walk taker. Like, don't tell me those lies just because he's Indian, she's Indian. Like, what did he show her? Like, how to be tall? Like, it's a beautiful time to be a wrestling fan, and I never thought we'd get to the point.
Yeah, well, especially for somebody going all the way back to when we were at Pro Wrestling Torch, asking for, like, some sort of women's, you know, better women's wrestling, you know, Shimmer's out there still. But now they had a network. As soon as the network came up, having all these women, I'm like, have a women's show. That's the next progression. And it doesn't have to be something huge. I mean, they've got a contract with Full Sail. They tape, they record, what, once every month and a half? Maybe that.
Whatever it is.
Well,
yeah, it's like,
it's
they
not
can,
like
they
you know,
can do it.
Use it there. It doesn't have to be huge. It's start as small and go from there.
Wanted,
but
yeah. You know, the funny thing is, they could do 30 minutes, and they have. It's at the point where they have so many women where we were talking about wondering about like NXT, like, you know, Def NXT. I ain't worried about that anymore. Like, it's just they got plenty of names to choose from. Even with like Asuka leaving, like they, that's what the women's term show, like, it's a lot of talent and like wrestling, and WWE's going all over the world and getting people. They getting people from Brazil, like they getting girls, women from China, Brazil. You just realize how many Australian, like, I didn't realize, like, you know, Australia, they got a lot of Australian women in there. Like, they have a damn stable, like, six of them if they wanted to. Just not even counting the ones that's, like, already signed in NXT. Like, Australia, New Zealand, and Germany, yeah, and Britain. Well, that, like, it's
the one Australian girl especially. Not Toni Storm, got, the other one.
What?
The Dakota big blonde Kai? Girl?
Oh, no. Which one? Oh, I know you're talking about. Uh-huh. Her name started with B or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like they got plenty.
She's like 20 or something. Whole,
yeah, like they have a lot of names to choose from, both young and old. And it gets to the point now where women's wrestling is more respected, so women are more likely to go out and do it. Like before, it's like, oh, I'm not going to do no bikini matches or no whipped cream matches. Like, I'm not doing that. And now you go there, and it's kind of like, sooner or later, like, Ronda Rousey's going to show up in a wrestling match. Like, if any people had any doubts, it's kind of like, it's coming. So it's like, yeah, that's the point it got to where women's wrestling is a viable thing in WWE. And it's, I'm looking forward to Tuesday. Like, I'm really looking forward to seeing that match with those two, because it's kind of like, that's big girl, small girl thing. Kairi Sane has that thing where, one, she's easily to love because she just sells, like, she sells every fight like she's about to die. Like, she's got that thing like that, like, you see it, like, you see the facial she make and every, because she's like all polite, and I gotta laugh, like, she comes out, it reminds like a Final Fantasy game, like, her music, her outfit stuff, but then she had matches, like, she's got that ruthlessness that Asuka has. She's more likable than Asuka, but smaller, and she wrestles like she's more sympathetic. Asuka's just like a badass. Like, I can never picture her like being in peril, because it's kind of like, why would I be sympathetic for her? She can beat up almost everybody here. Like, she could be fighting Nia Jax. I'm like, yeah, she got that Chris Benoit thing. It's like, she can beat up anybody she's in a ring with. So it's hard to kind of see her in peril. Kairi Sane being so damn small and dainty is like, yeah, I can see that easily, because like, she just makes the great facials, and she's just got passion when she makes a comeback. And that damn, I love that elbow so much. I don't know how she doesn't die. I remember I told Kevin about it, because, you know, I'm like, yeah, go in there and watch that elbow. Like, that thing is a damn work of art. And the semifinals, because before all the match, we'll wrap up soon, the matches she had before, like, they were always kind of like close to the turnbuckle, so she could just be like maximum height. The last one, she was at, Toni Storm was kind of far out. She got some air under that elbow. Like, she can go horizontal just as much as she go vertical with it. And it was like, they do an awesome job of like showing angles to show like how far she's going, because they show from like three different ways and they slow it down. I'm like, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just it's fun to see some, and it's like, those are beautiful finishers. And when I think of finishers, I think of like all, like, that's in this up. Awesome finisher. Like, the only women's ones I could think of that I can actually remember that's like noticeable was, of course, Victoria, that Widow's Peak, because you didn't see women doing stuff like that. And that was kind of like the first, I remember the time she bust that out, I'm like, I'm surprised she ain't murdered someone. Like, that thing looked like you breaking somebody's neck. And Ember Moon's, because doing a flip stunner off the top rope is always kind of like what? Yeah. The agility and the time and it takes to pull it off and make it look good. I'm like, that's, I remember the first time I saw that, I'm like, how they let her do, the first thing is like, she can do that. The second thing is like, they let her do that.
Okay. There's that, yes. I can't remember what match or who it was. And we'll end on this, because this is just funny. Somebody clearly did a diamond cutter / RKO. I can't remember who it was. And I just look going, what? How the hell did they get away with that, if they even asked?
And I remember I forgot the match, but I remember.
Yeah, and that. Jim Ross and the leader were like, whoa! And Jim Ross hurriedly covered up going, oh, looks like she hit her with a stunner. I was like, that ain't no stunner. No, that ain't even stunner. Close to one. Nice try, Jim. And she didn't get the pin off of it either, which even more so kind of surprised me. But I'm like, good thing Randy probably isn't even watching this. So unless someone tells him. And what's he going to, well, yeah, if it was old Randy.
He'd run in there, so I showed him how to do it.
Yeah, and then shit in her bag. Anyways, good way to end. Yeah, I'm looking forward to Tuesday as well. So I hope it's good, and then we'll talk about it next week, I'm sure. So for that, guys, thanks for listening after a week. Weather update, looks like we should be good for a show next week because it's going to hit the far western mountains of North Carolina now. So sucks for those people, but it's not me, so not my problem anymore. So on that note, I'm out. Thanks for listening. Stunk Granny on all social media, all your podcast platforms. And thanks for listening, guys. Peace.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahidul Hadi, and stay safe. We are out.